Real famous passage here, especially verse 28. God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's a truth of safety and strength before storms hit us in life. And John Piper, an old Baptist preacher, commented on just that one verse. I want to share some things he said. I think they're helpful in seeing God's work on our behalf, which is, I think, the main purpose of that verse. God works, or God causes things to work for the good. That's a long-term promise, by the way. It's not like by the end of the day everything's going to be fine and dandy. So he says this: if you live inside the promise of God's word here in Romans chapter 8, your life is more solid and stable than Mount Everest. I don't know if you feel that way in your emotions and your actions. You know, why feel more stable than Mount Everest? Okay, God can help us be that way since He's our strength. Nothing can blow you away when you're united with Jesus and His promise to you. Outside of this truth, there's only confusion and anxiety and uncertainty. Okay, life is pretty erratic, and you and I are like billiards of molecules being bounced around by who knows what. Maybe our own assertiveness. Maybe somebody else's assertiveness. But God's hand is stronger. So walk through the door of God's love. His name is Jesus. Go into this massive, unshakable, safe place. Live a life of stability, depth, and freedom in your soul. Your confidence is that the sovereign God governs all of life, your joys and your pains. God and His promise is your incomparable refuge and place of security, if you desire that. God's people trust the Lord of Romans 8:28. God works and causes all things to work together for the good. We want to trust Him in that, from, Piper says, from measles to the mortuary, with the M's there. And when we do that, we're the freest, strongest, most thankful people around. Well, that was Piper's thoughts. Great words of comfort. We look at God and say, He's working. We're working. We're glad for the opportunity to put our 2 cents in, and or our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, but hopefully toward honoring Him. So God works all things together for good. One of the first verses of the Bible that I memorized, one of the few I knew for the first year or two, sorry to say. But I find in this truth a real stability that helps me trust Christ a lot more than normally I would, and certainly helps us before storms and troubles come. I don't see that passage, God causes all things to work together for good. I don't see it as a real great passage to use to tell somebody or to preach or to say to somebody when they're right in the middle of great pain or loss. We would say some things in the Bible are more appropriate for certain times than others. You don't go to a hospital room, for example, and say, well, you've reaped what you've sown there, you know, with your two broken legs. That's not, it's in the Bible, but you don't share it then. Okay, you share something like, God loves you. That's true. God is with you. That's true. So this passage is for the big picture of what God's going to do, perhaps in the future, more likely than in that particular day. I don't remember, and I looked at a couple funeral books. Romans 8:28 has not been read at funerals or in hospital rooms very often. It's just not the right word at that point. So take note of that in your discipleship. Because God lets us know not all things are good. So He has to work them for the good. Okay? He doesn't balance the books by the end of the day or even by the end of your life and my life. Be a lot of unanswered questions, even with the promise of Romans 8:28. Let's talk about the all things. If all things are going to work together for the good to those that love God, to those called according to His purpose. What are the all things? There's the good and bad of life. They're the easy and the hard. They're the sin and the wicked. Okay, even that, God is somehow going to make right in eternity or put it away from Him the way it should be. Because He loves, He does hate sin. So there's parts of our lives He is committed to straightening out. So the happy and the sad, that's a part of all things. The health and the sickness, that's a part of all things. The calm and the storm, the life and the death. Remember, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, I hope that in no way will I be ashamed, but in everything, whether I live or I die, Christ will be honored in my body. That's a good prayer to pray. If you love somebody, you pray that on behalf of the other person, you know. Whatever, however I treat you, I want God to be honored, no matter what happens to me. And God can do great things in the good and the bad. An old preacher said, God can grow a big, strong tree from a manure pile. I like that picture. If you feel like this part of my life has just been all not good at all, in the future, there's going to be something of God. Honor himself and help you in that mess. And so God takes all the things to serve his honor that blesses children, and often we don't see it in our lifetime. I've known people, perhaps you've thought too in your own life, when this happened when I was younger, or in this situation in my life, 40, 50 years, 60 have gone by, I still can't see anything good that happened from that. God understands, because sometimes he works beyond the 60 years. Sometimes we're called to that 50, 60, 70-year pain, so that trillions and trillions of years from now, we'll say, I see the good. I see the good that God worked. You know, we want to get away from an ego-centered reading of the Bible that simply says, well, everything in the Bible happens to be about me and my 80 years of life. And God has to take care of that, or nothing else makes sense. No, he'll make it make sense. We get to be a part of it. You know, we get to know him and trust him. So we put him first. And often we're called to go through pain and difficulty for 50, 60 years for the sake of the 100 trillion years of good, only because God, works in the long run. And he helps us, the strength of God's promise as he puts his character behind it. He works, and it says, to those who love God. Let's talk about that a little bit, to those who love God. Love is a big deal. Most people want to be loved, although it makes us awkward. And most of us do want to love. I think of an old song, rock and roll, semi-rock and roll song. Find me somebody to love. Okay? Find me somebody to love. Cry of the human heart. I want my life to make a difference in somebody's life. I want to share life and all its ups and downs with another person. Find me somebody to love. God says, here I am. Love God. He's available. Okay? He's present. He invites that love. And so do you love God? Something to ask our own souls. We do love our family, our friends, new technology. We love the Facebook, smartphone activities. But do you love God? Is he your best thought of every thought that comes into your mind? Okay. And do you see every good thing is coming from his hand? And yet you love him far more than all the good things put together. Definition of love. Even at a human level, sometimes we feel that. Dear, there's a lot of friends in my life. There's a lot of good things and a lot of good activities. But they pale in comparison to you, dear. And then all the wives say, oh, I like to hear that, you know. It's true. And we love God at the top by far. Far more than all the good gifts put together. He brings that out in us. We love because he first loved us. So, and because we love God first, we do love his creation more so than if we just love, for ourselves' sake. That's a pretty small love. You love your family well because you love God first. You love Christians well and atheists well and strangers well because you love God first. And so to those who love God, he's going to work for that good. an old preacher thought of his love for Christ, Sam Rutherford. He said, Lord, you are all the heaven I desire. Even loving God more than you love heaven, because he's the one that makes heaven heaven. Ask for a heart like that. Admit to yourself that sometimes it's hard to love God because you can't see him. But you remember Jesus revealed himself. You see his fingerprint everywhere. He's everywhere for you. So every place is a holy place. Our souls were created to be loved by him. And Christ becomes the supreme joy and pleasure of your life. I find that true in my own life. The times when I've been said, just have that momentum and yielding and decision. I love God. An old preacher asked me one time, how's church life and what are you doing and how's this? And then he said, and do you still love God? I said, whoa. Hadn't thought about that. I haven't thought about that lately. Did he get me in the right direction? I find when I put away my little gods, self, things I want to see happen and, accomplish. When I put away those little gods and let my little kingdom be defeated, wow, God is so visible to our soul. He shows himself to us in the Bible and creation. And all the great things of life are wondrously found in him. Okay, they're brighter. And so, love God. We love because he first loved us. We love God by obeying him and loving the people made in his image. I think we were talking about 1 John before the service, a letter that John wrote, Apostle of Love. And John said, okay, if you love God, then you express that by loving the people around you. And that makes sense. I find that to be true. If I see, there's people made in God's image, loved by Christ. And you get there, your heart drawn and excited about that. It's like people who love it say, I love Rembrandt. You show them 100 or 200 Rembrandt paintings. And they say, I love this one. I love this one. I love that one. Okay, it would be strange to say, I love Rembrandt. And these paintings, they just irritate me. They just, they're not... They're not a part of it. And so you love God because the people were made in God's image. God causes to work for the good for those who love him. If you have a weak love for God, just pray to him if you would. Lord, I love you. Help my unlove. Help my unlove. Think of the cross of Jesus, your greatest loved one, given his life for you with forgiveness. Determination and joy. He was glad to do it. Rising from the dead. Saying, well, move heaven and earth to have you with me and me with you. Okay, wonderful thing. And so to look at some of the works of God so that we might honor him and love him. Just a few of them here listed in Romans. And this part of Romans, by the way, as I'd mentioned before, pretty much the first 11 chapters are God's work on our behalf. And then you got chapters 12 through 16, what we do with, co-laboring with God. So if it seems like it's a lot of God in that passage. It's on purpose from Paul and from his Spirit. Okay, so verse 28, God works for the good of those who love him. How does he do that? He foreknows. Okay, it's not just I see the storm coming, I think it might storm, and so I kind of foreknow it's going to rain. But the word know there is a closeness, a covenant closeness. Just like Adam knew Eve. Couldn't get any closer than that relationship. God foreknows you. And a close relationship from all eternity past. How could he know me when I didn't know me? That's because the universe is not contingent upon your knowledge, thankfully. It would be in a big pickle if it was. So God foreknows from all eternity past. He knows us closely. There's a love there. And then God predestines. Again, he does that work. Used to hate that word. Now I don't understand the word all the time, but I love the word. It's in the Bible. It talks about God's work. He predestines us to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's a big deal, because God's committed to us becoming like Christ. Okay, and saying, I'm going to share the character of my Son with you. What a gift. You sign up for different training, you know, and things at different parts of your calling. The choir trains to sing, and you train to play an instrument. You train at your job, and God trains us and shares the character of His Son with us. Jesus is Himself in us. And so we thank the God for His predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And you should be excited about predestination in the big picture of things. Because when you think of it, because of predestination, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Because of predestination, Jesus died on the cross. Because of predestination, Jesus rose from the dead. Because of predestination, Jesus sent His Spirit. Because of predestination, He conforms us to the image of His Son. And because of predestination, Jesus will come back. Okay? And God has a plan for our life. And He does those plans well. J. Vernon McGee, an old preacher, said this about what God does. He said, there's no place for human pride, but God predestines. It's God's work. He carries it out. God's will comes out of eternity like a great steamroller train. Don't think you could stop it. In fact, you better get on and ride. Get on that train of God foreknowing, God working in your life. And then God calls. He calls us. Come follow me. We feel like we have a part at that point to say yes. Jesus was excited about His call in the apostles' life. From the 11 that were truly His, it says in God's Word two times, John's Gospel, He lost none of those who were called by the Father. 11 guys started, 11 guys finished. Okay? Could be the story of our lives. God started a work in us. We somehow get to finish by His grace. Somehow our faith and trust are a part of that too. We're thankful. Then God justifies. There's a permanent peace with God through faith in Christ. God glorifies. We're somehow the gift of God being secure in Christ. Like we belong to Jesus for today, but for eternity also. So His holding power is better than my ability to follow. God's really good at that. And the assurance of salvation, I think, is the God glorified part. There's probably, 10,000 Christian songs written about the assurance of heaven or glorified. Here's a couple. When we've been there 10,000 years, because God glorified. Okay, that's one. Here's another. I'll sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, because God glorified. Here's another. Pure and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. There's, again, a confidence in God. Here's another. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation, what joy shall fill my heart? Again, confidence in God. A real oldie. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away because God glorified. And then, one more. We'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all. So let your heart love God, because look what He does to extend Himself for you. You know, and I would say, make an appeal to you, if you're lonely, if you're feeling unloved by God and people, if your heart aches, or if you feel, you know, I'm too bad to trust and follow Jesus. Just look at Him. Or if you feel like, I'm too good, I don't know if I really need Jesus, I'm glad He's here for these weaklings around me. But I would say, look to Christ. Okay, He wants to cause things for your good. And He calls you and He knows you. He'll make you right with Him. And He'll bring you to Himself. And He's worthy of your trust. So Let's come and have fellowship with our good Lord. Let's pray together.